Good evening, everyone. Edwin Lee Raymer here with you with a PI show from right here at WGNS, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Going to have a couple of our local candidates on. Justin Miller is running for District 48, representative. He's going to be here with us. And also running for State Senate, District 14, Ms. Gail Jordan. They've been with us before. Wanted to have them back just one more time. We'll be taking your calls, your comments, your questions. Also, you can send your text in. We'd love to hear from you. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I am a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
You're tuned in to the PI program, Tips and Tales from licensed longtime private investigator Edwin Lee Raymer. Taking your phone calls and text messages at 615-893-1450 on the PI program.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome aboard to the PI show. We've got some special guests with us, and this is the PI show with me, Edwin Lee Raymer. And this broadcast is produced at the studios of WGNS AM 1450, 100.5 and 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You can reach us tonight, and we hope you do, with your questions, comments, or suggestions at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. Dalton Barrett is on the board. You can also send a text to that number. He'll be glad to read your question or comment over the air. Also, you can send one to my personal phone that I keep here on the desk with me, 615-390-7219. And you can also message us at Facebook, Private Investigations of Middle Tennessee, legal/law. And check us out. Our email address is privateinvest@bellsouth.net. As I said, Dalton Barrett is on the board. Justin Miller, Gail Jordan, they're back with us. Glad to have you. Miss Gail, how are you today?
I'm good, Ed. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. Justin?
How are you?
But better yet, how are you doing? I mean, because we're in the home stretch here. I know you've enjoyed it, but I know you'll be glad probably, I guess, when it's over so you can take a break.
Yeah, it's like I say, some days I wish I had 90 days left, and some days I wish it was yesterday. So,
yeah, I think everybody gets feeling that way.
But no, it's great. It's going well, and we've really enjoyed getting out there and talking to people and just, you know, really kind of immersing ourselves in the district.
The constituents have a way of letting you know what's on their mind.
Yes, they do. Well,
don't they? Gail, how about you?
Oh, it's been an awesome experience. It's been, I was kind of making fun of myself earlier. It's kind of nerdy to say it, but it's been just the most, it's been the most humbling experience I think I've ever had, to have voters tell you what's on their mind, to have them trust you with their vulnerabilities and tell you, you know, what they feel like they need, what they feel like their community needs. Mm-hmm. It's just been awesome.
I see that the early voting, and we'll get more into it as we go through the hour, but the early voting, the turnout we were speaking earlier before we all went on the air, it's really great, you know. And already, last count I had, I don't know if any of you know, but last count I had was in the paper, was like 40,000.
It's a lot,
aren't we up around 80 now? It seemed like I had heard that figure, but I may be wrong.
I'm not 100% sure. Selfishly, I've just been watching my own district, we were at Thursday, was the last I checked, we had just gone above 10,000, that's huge.
That is.
And that's a win for everybody, that's
it's about
everyone.
Time, because, you know, Brian Barrett and I, Dalton's father, and of course, Bart, they're always at the election headquarters, and in the primary, we got the final results in, and there was 5.88%. turnout. You can't. We're pushing 300,000 people in this county, and you got to have more of a turnout than that.
Absolutely.
Well, we sure do this time.
But now, Gail, your area is a little bit different. You're covering what, two counties?
Four and a half. Marshall, okay. Moore, Bedford, Lincoln, and the eastern part of Rutherford.
Okay, so you haven't had much time to. I mean, you've been on the go.
Oh, been on the go. I've worn the roads out going down to the district. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yep. Would you do it again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I don't know in what the set of circumstances would be, but absolutely. And as I said before, when I was kind of making fun of myself, it feels so nerdy to say it, but really it's the most educational and the most humbling experience. And here's what I would say. I would encourage anybody anywhere to get involved in the political process. You don't have to be the candidate, but if you're part of the campaign
in some capacity,
some way right. to be involved in it. There's nothing that gets you more motivated and educated about the issues than being involved in the campaign.
Well, you know, as we've said before, I think we've said right here on our little broadcast, most people wind up talking about the same issues.
Right.
Most people. Now, you've right. got radical right, radical left. That's always going to be that way. But most people are worried about a job, their income, you know, schools,
yeah.
what have
oh,
you.
Absolutely.
We're going to go to our first break. Dalton, if you'll play us into it. We'll be back with Gail Jordan, Justin Miller. This is the PI Show with me, Evan Lee Raymer. You know, Jeff Mullins is a multi-generational family-owned jewelry store. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts, excellent selection of bridal jewelry, gold, diamond, and gemstone jewelry, silver jewelry, also offering a huge selection of watches from Luminex, Citizen, Seiko, Pulsar, gifts for any and all occasions. And also, expert jewelry repair by Jeff's dad, Mr. Charles Mullins. I can't tell you the number of times he's fixed watches for me. New batteries, bracelets adjusted, all of the whole nine yards. Visit their website at www.jmullinsjewelry.com, or you can go see them in person there at the store at 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Or you can give them a call at 615-962-7164. That's 615-962-7164. And again, that website is jmullinsjewelry.com. Right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts. Excellent selection of bridal jewelry. Again, gold, diamond, gemstone jewelry. Check them out.
Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits. The finest selection of wines in this county, maybe even the entire state. Did you know that Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has their own wine cellar? Their address is 3016 South Church Street here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Also known to us locals as Shelbyville Highway or Highway 231. Located in the IGA Shopping Center, phone number is 615-907-9000. Ted Robertson and his family, and we do mean family-owned. Spotlessly clean store with the friendliest and most knowledgeable staff. You know what goes with this, what wine goes with that. Call Ted and arrange a wine tasting for your office or party, and Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has got what you need. And we beg all of you, do not drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. And if you do drink, please drink responsibly. And don't forget to check out their website, MurfreesboroWineAndSpirits.com.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
A little Ozzy Osbourne with you. I think him and Sharon have worked things out. I think they're going to get back together. When I first saw they were going to get divorced, I said, why?
And now that you see they're getting together, you're saying, why?
Why? You had a chance, Sharon. Run. Okay. Evan Lee Raymer back with Justin Miller, Gail Jordan. Justin, take off. What do you want to talk about? Where do you want to go?
You know, just,
okay,
just about
thank
anything.
You, Justin.
I'm an open all book.
Right. I got, I haven't told both of you, had a section on all the candidates that the Daily News Journal did. And I had yours. You're running, of course, against a fellow by the name of Brian Terry.
That's correct.
He is incumbent.
He is.
Yes. They're talking about, and Gail and I have talked about this too, and Gail, chime in here. Tell us about this surplus budget we've got.
That's
because
funny.
I seem to. It wasn't too funny when you were talking to me earlier. now, get ready, folks, okay? And
well,
make sure your children are away from the radio for the next few minutes, please.
Get that button ready, Dalton.
That's right. Can you have the beep button ready?
No. Either one of you, please tell us about how this is going to work.
Well, let me start, and then I'll let Justin say what he wants to say. But one of the taglines of my campaign is enough is enough.
Right.
And it's never been more true than when you look at what's happening with our opponents, with our incumbents. They are boasting and running on a surplus in the budget. When you when our education is underfunded by $500 million, and that's a conservative estimate, when we have no 10-year plan for transportation, it ain't a surplus. It's fiscal mismanagement is what it is, but it is not a surplus. And I'm hot. I'm mad because our teachers are being disrespected. I'm mad because our children are being disrespected, and they have the audacity not to just to market this as if it's a positive and call it a surplus, and I am mad about that.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Gail, and to give Gail the full credit on this, she's the first person that really stood up and said, wait just a second, this isn't right. But it's true. I mean, she makes the example of not feeding her animals on her farm. And, she's got a little extra money in her pocket at the end of the day, but her livestock is dead or dying. You know, and that's the thing. To me, it's just the same stuff that's been coming out of Nashville year after year after year. And I think that's why you've got so many of us wanting to get involved this year, is because we send these guys and these men and women up there. They come home, sell us a bill of goods, say, hey, look at what we did. Yeah. And they really haven't accomplished anything.
And I think a lot of people are beginning to.
I agree.
This. And, we have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. This is Edwin Lee Raymer. Go ahead.
Hey, Edwin, guess who this is?
I'm going to bet this is Marty Luffman.
Yeah, and guess who I'm with?
That poor lady. Is Pam there with you?
Yes, sir, buddy.
Pam, run. Run.
Hello.
Get away from him. Run.
Yes.
Save yourself. What can we do for you, my friend? You have a question for these two candidates?
No, I don't have a question. We were sitting here listening to the show. I don't really have a question. I was just going to say hi to you. And we're sitting, believe it or not, in the middle of the fairground next to the stables. And we're looking at all the bright lights of all the Ferris wheels and all this other stuff going on.
Now, you're in Alabama, right?
Montgomery, Alabama.
Montgomery, Alabama, right.
Right. Right, and I hadn't been arrested. I hadn't been accosted.
So far, so good.
Give it time, Marty. Yeah, we believe in you.
You all be careful. I appreciate your support of the broadcast. I really do, Marty. Thank you so much.
Sir.
And tell Pam
y'all
hello.
Have a good evening. We're going to go back to listening, okay?
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Marty.
We appreciate
okay,
you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Marty Luffman from down at Smyrna, a good friend of Rutherford County and a better friend of Smyrna, Tennessee. He's been there a long time. Justin, the budget. We're talking about this surplus that appears to be a con job more than anything.
Well, and that's the thing. Gail hit the nail on the head. When you've got things that are underfunded, and it's not even a debate on whether or not it's underfunded. It's underfunded. You just look at the numbers compared to every other state in the nation. You know, we misfund our schools in such a terrible way that to come back, just like she said, to have the arrogance to come back and say, hey, look at what we did. We've got a surplus. It doesn't fly. I mean, it does not fly. And it's just more of the same old stuff that we keep seeing year after year.
And this is straight out of the comptroller's office. That's where the estimate came that we're at least $500 million underfunded with our schools. And you can ask any public school teacher in this district, ask any public school teacher in this county if they have all the resources they need for their schools.
Oh, and I notice here also, and this was in the piece out of the Daily News Journal, October 23rd edition. Gail, you said the Society of Civil Engineers indicate that our infrastructure is a C-minus and also underfunded.
Sure, and we already know we're going to have 100,000 people in the next 10 years come to our area. We know that. This is good. This is growth. This is progress. These are going to mean jobs. What's our 10-year plan? Does anybody know what our 10-year transportation plan? And I'll tell you, the chair of the Transportation Committee said, you know what he said? We need to do a study. He's been there for 12 years, and an election cycle, his response to whether or not we're going to do roads is, we need to do a study.
Well, and that's just like health care. You know, they had the opportunity to introduce and pass Insure Tennessee. Since it's an election year, they just said no, but since it's an election year, they sell us this garbage about we've got a 3-star health committee that we're putting together and we're looking into it, and nothing has come from it. During the special session, we were supposed to get an update on what they had found. We didn't get that. And if we did, I didn't hear about it. I mean, it's almost like they looked up and realized, oh, yeah, healthcare, we haven't addressed that. Oh, man.
Right.
Let's throw something together real quick. It's an election year.
And you know what they did address? Well, it would either be guns or skunks. So legislation in the first place costs money. It costs money to run the air conditioning. It costs money for copy paper. It costs money for the support staff.
Right.
So they come together and they're going to address an issue that, that supposedly affects everybody in the state. And you know what it was? Whether or not we can keep skunks as pets. Now, in my three-step process that I've laid out on the three questions you ask yourself on whether or not you're going to vote for or support legislation, is it rational? Is it reasonable? Is it right? Is it rational asks, does this legislation, as it's crafted, address and resolve an identified problem in the state? Number two, is it reasonable? That's the budget question. Can we afford this? And is this the best use of every tax dollar that's been entrusted to our care? And lastly, is it right? Does it have the most positive effect on the most number of people and the least negative effect on the fewest number of people? You take that skunk legislation and you can't even get past the first test. Did we have a statewide problem with keeping skunks at pets? And notice that I didn't say that my questions are, how's my party going to vote? Or who else is going to vote for this legislation? Or most importantly, what are my PAC contributors expecting me to vote in this legislation?
Right. Yes. That enters into it. Yes, very much so. A C minus
in infrastructure. On our infrastructure.
You got to be kidding.
Look it up. Everybody's got smartphones or internet. Look it up.
Also, the Affordable Care Act. Your opponent, Mr. Tracy, Senator Tracy. We cannot afford to bring the Affordable Care Act to Tennessee. State after state has experienced the, as he calls it, Obamacare disaster. It's the Affordable Care Act. It's not Obamacare. Minnesota is the most vivid example. Where do you all stand on this? How does this work? And inform both of you. Justin, please, how does this Affordable Care Act? Now, I know there's going to be humps and bumps in the road. The program is still new. It's in its infancy. But I noticed a graph, a pie chart, that only 5% of our tax dollars go for health. You would think they were breaking. You would think we were on the brink of disaster. While 57% goes to military, I understand that, you know, but only 5%, if the chart is correct, goes for health care.
Well, that you just said a sentence that they love to use: disaster. Or a word that they love to use, disaster. You know, that's the narrative they like to paint because they run typically that whole doom and gloom and fear-mongering, kind of campaign. You know, we say we can't afford to do it. To me, we can't afford to not do it. Gail and I participated in a forum yesterday because Gail and I are both in the same boat. We want to be as transparent as possible. We want to get as much out there as possible. We're both open books. You know, we want people to understand where we stand on things and don't back away from things. But we sat there and I had a good conversation during the forum and then after with a man who's going to be paying $20,000 this year in health care for insurance with a $10,000 deductible. We can't afford to not do something.
Well, that's what I've said all along. I mean, Medicare. We have all paid taxes for years.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandparents, your parents, my parents, my grandparents, great-grandparents, they've all been on it. I have never had a problem with that.
Right.
I think they should be taken care of. I think it should even be taken care of better.
And Ed, these are working folks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of these folks are veterans. And so these are folks that are...
No,
yes,
the veteran thing. Yeah, right? Please. That's
And so I when know. You look at... So you have the economic reason for us to do this because it comes at no cost to the state budget. Whenever he says that we can't afford Obamacare, that just makes my blood boil because it comes in... The hospitals have said whatever the dollars that won't cover it will step up and match. And we're losing our rural hospitals because they don't have the reimbursement for the treatment, which of course costs us jobs. And then those folks are out of work. And then what happens? If you've got insurance, whether you've got private insurance or employer-provided insurance, then those insurance rates do go up because that's how the system works.
Well,
that's what I've said all along.
We're paying for it. Some of us are already anyway. Cover everyone. Now, I know that's easier said than done.
Right.
I know that. Do you have people that are going to abuse the system? Yes. Always have and always will. That's part of it. But you can fine-tune it, and it will eventually.
And you can't have this conversation without concluding with, think about the humanitarian effort of that.
We're going to go to our next break at 20 after. Back with you, Justin Miller, Gail Jordan, Edwin Lee Raymer. The PI Show, back in 2 minutes.
Keeping the pulse of our community, First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Man on the Street Report. This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you want banking in a snap, be sure and download the First National Bank app. First National Bank of Murfreesboro offers mobile banking, text banking. We also have check card fraud alerts, and we have several off-site ATM locations for you here in Murfreesboro. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Member FDIC.
Today I asked, what's the most important thing that you think our city officials should know?
Keep doing what you're doing.
The one thing I think the city officials need to focus on is to continue to enable the people to see harmony. I think that's the biggest thing nationally, globally, is that, you know, we got this, you know, Blue Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, every life matter, man. So as leaders, I think we can set that example by continuously working hard together and letting the public, letting the city see that, man. I think that's bigger than us behind the microphones trying to worry about budgets and things right there in this season.
We have a homeless problem, the homeless in our community.
I think that Murfreesboro is a great area. I think Rutherford County is a great area. I think that feedback from citizens is very important. And I think that the growth is really important.
I want representation all throughout the city, not our elected officials to live in one neighborhood and govern everybody. I think we need representation all throughout, like, the districts of Murfreesboro.
Those were your opinions, and with that, I'm Dalton Barrett, your man on the street. The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
That is Mr. Eddie Van Halen. And Gail Jordan, if you will please come over here and stand down and quit dancing like that. You're not 20 years old
got
anymore.
Got me wound
dear.
Up.
Well, you were already wound up when you got to hit the door tonight. So
everybody should be wound up about
this. I do believe so. Evan Lee Raymer here, the PI Show. And we've got two political candidates in here, Mr. Justin Miller and Ms. Gail Jordan. And we're talking politics, and we're talking about budgets, and we're talking about health care. Justin, tell people what you were just saying a while ago about the health care issue.
Well, it's like I was telling y'all, you know, it's simple. Basically, I have a feeling if you've ever heard me talk, you've heard this spiel before, but by not passing Insure Tennessee and not taking advantage of that bill, we forfeited $1.4 billion that could come into our state specifically for health care. It's simple economics. It's very simple economics. If you put more money and create more customers, prices will go down. If they don't, then you are looking at greed. I mean, that's the only way that you can sit here and say, well, no, the prices will actually go up. Well, then we've got greed on the side of the insurance companies. And I think I don't understand why that seems to be such a hard thing to grasp when we have people that can't afford their health insurance anymore. I mean, we are legitimately about to have a large group of people whose insurance premiums are higher than their mortgages or their rent.
Right.
That's unacceptable. I mean, nobody should ever, to me, and I'm sorry, and I get kind of, I think some people bill me as a little bit of a bleeding heart when I say this, but nobody should ever have to choose between taking care of themselves and getting the basic health care to just stay alive or keeping a roof over their head.
I agree. And like I said, you have people that are going to abuse the system. Sure.
Absolutely.
It's going to happen. You have people that fall through the cracks. Yes. But, you know, not everything that is put out there by government, state, local, federal, whatever, not everything is for a profit.
No, and it's not. It shouldn't be a profit. And we shouldn't look at it and say there's it's like when people talk about, when we talk about, you know, welfare or things like that. Yep. But, well, people are abusing it. You know, yeah, there are parts of it that are broken. The taillight was out on my truck today. I didn't set it on fire. You know, right. I drove it.
Okay.
I mean,
right. Okay.
It's, we take the exception and try to make it the rule and then sell that to the public, or at least that's what a lot of our elected officials do. And it's just, you know, it's the tagline of Gail's campaign, enough's enough, man. It's ridiculous.
Right. I think that's beginning to take hold.
Absolutely.
I really do. How long have you all been campaigning now? I just
we had to file our paperwork in April, and so though we're both rookies, Justin mm-hmm. and I are both first time. So
first time running for office.
Right. So we're figuring it out as we go.
Right.
So we essentially started in April, down to the last week.
So we are down. This is crunch time, early voting. And when does early voting end?
It ends Wednesday.
November 3rd.
Yes.
November 3rd.
Is that Thursday?
I think it's Thursday. I thought it was Thursday.
I think someone
said
it is Thursday.
It is
That's
Thursday.
Right. I'm an idiot. Never mind.
That's all right. You got other things on your mind?
It's been a long weekend.
No, he's so wound up on this budget thing. I'm telling you. And who isn't? Also, let's talk about our teachers. Let's talk about our classrooms. Gail, your opponent said in this very same article, now Tennessee is the most improved state in the nation in education. Where do you stand?
I think our schools are strong. I think we have bounty in Tennessee of awesome school teachers. But here's what the problem is. We are 47th in the nation in per student funding. That is outrageous for Tennessee when we have so much, to have 47th in the nation for per student funding. And I'll tell you something. Here's what I challenge every listener, every person who hears this. This is what I challenge you to do. Go talk to a public school teacher. So here's what they're up against. A public school teacher's ability to be able to keep his or her job from year to year depends upon two things. One, the results of student testing. There is no one who disputes that our students are over-tested. There are up to 30 days a year in student testing. The second part of what factors into whether or not a teacher can keep his or her job from year to year is an assessment metric that is absurd. It's obscene. There are 80 points of performance that in 2 30-minute sessions during the school year a teacher has to be able to perform. You talk to a public school teacher and ask he or she what they think about the status of education in Tennessee. Yes, there's a lot of things that are good. Yes, we have awesome teachers. We have some of the best in our school system.
Right.
But they are up against this, and this is a slow drip. The teacher morale is down. They haven't had a substantial raise, and no one can remember when. This is, and every time when the incumbents say, we've put all this money into education, you know where it went the last time? Student testing. Didn't trickle down to the teachers for any kind of a raise, any kind of a substantial benefit, any kind of job security, and that's the problem.
My wife and I, we have cousins that are teachers, all the way from, I have a cousin in California. She's in Los Angeles. Two or three of them are in Kentucky. One is in Florida. Gail's retired now, I believe. Gail's her name as well. But when I had this conversation with them, and any teacher, wherever you are in the country, these are the same problems they're having. This is not just here as far as money and paying them. And, you know, a teacher doesn't need to be worried about whether they can make their rent or house payment next month.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying everybody's got to make $300,000 a year and live on a golf course, but they need to be taken care of.
There's not a politician that doesn't say, I believe in strong schools. But here's what you need to do. Politicians, we're all going to say it. We're all going to say it.
Right.
Justin and I don't have a record. You have to look at what our party stands for. You have to listen to what we're saying, and you can do that. Our opponents, they have records. You look up the voting record. You look up the voting record of the members of the Education Committee. You look up the records of both of our opponents and see how they voted on schools. See who years ago took away the teacher's ability to have collective bargaining rights.
Right.
See who has broken this down. See who sponsored and voted for legislation that would not allow a teacher to have out of her own paycheck her dues paid to her professional organization. This is a government intrusion of the highest order, and this is another thing we should be outraged about. This is far too big of government. It's government overreach, and it's outrageous.
Justin?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always hate going after Gail when I'm talking with her. She nails all the points. She is on it.
All right, Gail, if you'll stand down for just a minute, we're going to let Justin have the mic here.
Oh, no. Don't be quiet.
No, honestly.
Go ahead.
I say that because I couldn't agree with her more. It's I've talked to a lot of teachers throughout this, and what's so bad about it is it's true. They shouldn't have to what you said, they shouldn't have to worry about whether they can keep a roof over their head. You know, we need to start investing in our schools and our teachers and our schools, because here's the way I look at it, and it's a little bit out there. But I really think about the rural areas. I've lived in Rutherford County my entire life, with the exception of 9 months, and I lived in Trousdale County. And we're an hour away from there, but it's a whole different world.
Yes, it is.
I mean, right. It really is. Yeah, it is. It is a community that was hit by the recession, which I lived there before that, but it had been hit by jobs moving out, they were going to have a power plant there. A lot of people moved there waiting for jobs, and it never opened. You know, it's, but I went through their school system as well, and it's underfunded. They had high teacher turnover and still continue to.
Sure.
And generally, they're not even generally, they in Trousdale County.
Let me interrupt you. We got to go to a break.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Keep that train of thought. Dalton Barrett, take us to our midway break, please. Evan Lee Raymer, the PI Show, back with you on the other side of this break.
You're fine, and not your own. Your body's wet, your body's sick. Another kiss.
You know, Jeff Mullins is a multi-generational family-owned jewelry store. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts, excellent selection of bridal jewelry, gold, diamond, and gemstone jewelry, silver jewelry, also offering a huge selection of watches from Luminex, Citizen, Seiko, Pulsar, gifts for any and all occasions. And also, expert jewelry repair by Jeff's dad, Mr. Charles Mullins. I can't tell you the number of times he's fixed watches for me. New batteries, bracelets adjusted, all of the whole nine yards. Visit their website at www.jmullinsjewelry.com, or you can go see them in person there at the store at 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Or you can give them a call at 615-962-7164. That's 615-962-7164. And again, that website is jmullinsjewelry.com. Right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. J. Mullins Jewelry and Gifts, excellent selection of bridal jewelry. Again, gold, diamond, gemstone jewelry. Check them out.
Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits, the finest selection of wines in this county, maybe even the entire state. Did you know that Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has their own wine cellar? Their address is 3016 South Church Street here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, also known to us locals as Shelbyville Highway or Highway 231. Located in the IGA Shopping Center, phone number is 615-907-9000. Ted Robertson and his family, and we do mean family-owned. Spotlessly clean store with the friendliest and most knowledgeable staff. You know what goes with this, what wine goes with that. Call Ted and arrange a wine tasting for your office or party. And Murfreesboro Wine and Spirits has got what you need. And we beg all of you, do not drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. And if you do drink, please drink responsibly. And don't forget to check out their website, MurfreesboroWineAndSpirits.com.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Evan Lee.
And that is Ida Mae Bullock, a.k.a. Tina Turner, from Nutbush, Tennessee. She came a long way. I'll tell you, a long way. And Justin Miller, breakdancing went out in the 80s, but I haven't seen a man spin around on the floor like that in a while.
I think I pulled something.
Going to suspend the campaign. Yes,
we're just going to kind of, we're going to literally Justin, limp to the finish.
Well, Justin, recuperate. Evan Lee Raymer, PI Show with you. Gail Jordan's here. Justin Miller, as I've told you before. Justin, I interrupted you last time. We had to go to a break.
No, talk that's about okay. It.
Go
that's
ahead.
All right. No, I was just talking about, Trousdale County and their education system. You know,
right.
Trousdale County is probably one of the most beautiful places in the state of Tennessee. It's just gorgeous. But they are, their poverty rate, their unemployed rate's much higher than we have here. You know, we're very blessed here in Rutherford County to not have that, I think something came out the other day that we're number three in the state as far as county goes. As far as unemployment, we're right at 4%, which is fantastic. And I believe
sure.
The national average is around 5, somewhere in there. So we're doing great. But you know, places like that, their unemployment in some cases is in the double digits. And, you know, if we don't spend time and spend money educating the children of those communities, and that goes for the rural, not only the rural areas, but you know, the more urban areas, and really everywhere. If we don't set these kids up to kind of pull themselves out of that, you know, kind of cycle of poverty and cycle of being undereducated, if we don't start doing that, it's going to become just a recurring theme of generation after generation after generation that can't dig themselves out of it. So it's time to invest in education and really start trying to move the needle as far as our state goes.
Right. And that takes us to the topic that Stephen Reynolds had brought up. He was with us a couple of weeks ago. The fiber optic. Mm-hmm. To get it in every county and every town in Tennessee, because so many of the students, everything is online now.
Absolutely.
Dalton, you don't even have books, I don't think, much anymore. Right. Everything is they'll carry their laptops or whatever. And that's the world we live in. And there are children that don't have access to that.
And right. This broadband
and
issue
broadband,
is going to,
right.
Right, this is going to continue to be a bigger issue. We've got to get this resolved. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's actually a law that prohibits the rural electric co-ops from bringing broadband out into the more rural places because, of course, Comcast and AT&T and all those guys have gotten involved. And by the way, you might want to check the incumbents' PAC contribution list to see maybe why they got involved in this legislation. And so, now the rural co-ops can't bring broadband out to the rural areas. We call them internet deserts because they can't do that. And yes, it's not just the children. It's how our society has begun to live. We need to be able to access it for Social Security. You need to be able to do it to pay your bills online. And how much would this help some of our senior adults who don't feel necessarily comfortable
getting
out on the roads?
Well, we're all using it, Gail. And that's the thing. Now, our family farm is 150 miles away from here. It's in the outskirts of a little town called Manitou, Kentucky. And that's between Wichita and Providence, if you don't know where that is. And but we don't have internet access up there. Down our road, everyone's got, I got satellite dish. You know, look, just it's a wire.
Right.
Okay? You're telling me you can't string a wire. The poles are already there.
Right. The infrastructure for it is already set up.
Sure.
It should be a very easy. I mean, it's.
I would think.
Yeah, it's
easy and inexpensive.
Right.
Right there. Most of the work has been done. We're 90% there. All we've got to do is run it out there, and yet we have this obstacle. And as I said, check the PAC contribution list, and it'll give you a clue to the puzzle every time.
How do people tell us how to check those lists? How do you go to them?
Pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. That's public access. You know, that's public information.
Sure. Public information.
You'll have to navigate the TN.gov site.
Okay.
You put in the candidate. You put in the district. You kind of have to familiarize yourself with what that is. And there are three or four different financial reports we have to give over the course of the campaign, and it will show contributor after contributor. But for my particular opponent, you can go to my website, Gail Jordan for Senate, tn14.com, and it's pretty easy to find there.
Well, that is so nice of you to do that.
You can also go, especially if you're looking at previous races and going back, especially to the last election, you can go to followthemoney.org too, and it does a really good job of kind of taking all that and putting it together and really showing you how many times, you know, this particular PAC organization or person gave to the candidate.
You know, I don't agree with anything that Donald Trump says, but I'll tell you one thing he has said that I've agreed with, and he talked about PACs, and he talked about contributions to campaigns, and he said he was bragging about that he was taking them, but he said this. He said, when I have contributed to a campaign before, he said, I expect something in return, and if you don't believe that every one of those contributions from every one of those PACs has an expectation to get something in return, you need to examine it more closely.
And right. Gail, that's on both sides of the aisle.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. I'm willing to say that.
Else would Advance Financial donate to a campaign? I mean, honestly, why else would Advance Financial give $1,000 to a candidate?
Now, is that
without
the check cashing places?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we also call them
300%.
We call them loan sharks. Correct term?
Well,
for
you know,
them.
The mob used to do that, but I'm not sure that I was going. I'd rather deal with the mob than I had them.
Well, you know,
at least you know what you get with the mob.
Right? They'll break your legs. They're not going to kill your credit. So, legs heal. Credit takes a while.
Right.
So,
but remember that, folks. And also, and we mentioned this, I mentioned it before, check your facts. And there are certain places you can go to check facts, and I don't know if that's necessarily true on state level.
It's tough.
But especially on federal elections, these people, well, so-and-so candidate come out and said they's in favor of thus and so. Go check it out.
Right.
You'll find out. We had one, it happened last night. I went and checked it out. It's blatantly just a lie.
Falsehood. Well, and,
just a lie. I mean,
right. Well, but we're in a dangerous, that's kind of the nature of the beast with our society is with so much social media. You have clickbait. You know what I mean?
Dalton, we're going to have to go to a break. Justin's talked us over again.
Sorry, guys.
Got a lot to say.
Evan Lee Raymer with you. Back after this. Hey, everybody. I'm Edwin Lee Raymer, owner of Private Investigations of Middle Tennessee. Thanks for tuning us in tonight. Hope you're enjoying the show. You know, we hope you never need to use folks like us, but if you do, please feel free to give us a call at 615-390-7219. That number again is 615-390-7219. Or you're welcome to send me an email at privateinvest@bellsouth.net. Thanks for listening, and we'll get right back to the show.
This is Dave Ramsey, and I'm excited to be on From 1 to 4.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Keeping up with local news and information has never been...
Hi, I'm Wade Hayes, owner of Toots, Good Food and Fun. I strongly believe that volunteers make a positive difference in the quality of life here in our community.
Chato Cerrito believes that you should give back to your community with your heart and hand. He is active on the board of the local Red Cross, along with volunteering his talents with Read to Succeed, as well as the Discovery Center. In addition, Chato is also involved in Murfreesboro Rotary's community work. We're saluting Chato Cerrino as our Toots Outstanding Volunteer. He definitely has a heart for helping.
At Toots, we strongly believe that it's important for every one of our citizens to give some of their time and talent back into the community. We've been so blessed here in Rutherford County, and we want to honor these individuals with a Toots gift certificate good at any of our three Rutherford County locations. Our original Toots on Northwest Broad Street, Sam Ridley Parkway in Smyrna, and our newest location at South Church Street and Barfield Road.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
Thank you, Dalton Barrett. Much appreciated. We're talking about fact-checking. Check that out, folks. Go to... do you ever check these things? I know y'all been busy, but...
I don't know. I hadn't had a whole lot going on the last 7 months. I don't know about you.
Playing a lot of tennis. And
I just, you know, just
no, I'm just standing
out
up here every Sunday night listening to y'all. And glad to do it. Very glad to do
it.
We
appreciate you having us.
No, I really am. And I swore I would never do any political stuff, but I felt it was time. And that people were educated. Let's put it that way, or get right. them educated as we possibly can. Now, of course, they don't have to listen. But WGNS got a pretty loyal listenership. I run into someone just about every week that, you know, oh, yeah, I know y'all. I just do every Sunday night. So
right.
It really got kind of scary there once, you know, because I had people coming up, I've heard of you. Yeah, late at the grocery store one night and checked out. I just left the station, stopped by to pick something up, and she said, oh, yeah, when I'm not working, I listen to you all the time. Yeah. So anyway,
and you know, at every I believe being out in the district like I have, the voters want to hear about the issues. They want to, and here's
they truly do.
And here's the problem. Here's the problem. First of all, our opponents just refused to do a public forum with us. We had five dates from the League of Women Voters. None of those were suitable for any of the opponents in Rutherford mm-hmm. County. But the voters, here's the saddest part of it: they have great trust in their leadership, mm-hmm. and the leadership is not. They're not holding up to that trust. They're right. not doing what's in the best interest of the folks in the district. And the folks in the district are the ones that are getting the short end of the stick. Ask the folks in the district if they think there's a surplus when you explain, our schools are underfunded by $500 million. Does that sound like a surplus to you? Well, no, because it doesn't. By definition, no, it doesn't. And so when you get when you tell them this, this makes them angry. They're frustrated because they've been misled. There's misdirection. There's been untruth. All of these things, and they've put their trust in their leadership, and the tide is turning.
How? Explain to me, okay? Now, y'all have been in the thick of this thing. How is this surplus arrived at? This quote-unquote surplus. How did they get that?
Well, essentially, it's just like any budget. If I say I'm going to give, let's say I start out with $1,000, and I know I'm gonna pay on my house $500. I'm gonna spend $100 on food, and I'm gonna spend $100 on my car. Okay. I've got a $300 surplus. The only problem with that math when the state comes into it is that my house payment is actually $800. So I'm only paying $500 on it. I'm not fully funding. I'm not paying, but I need to keep my house in my name and to being kicked out on the street.
And this is not more complicated than that. You know, we have our household budgets. Years ago, I went through the Dave Ramsey Financial Counselor Certification Program to help people understand how to do a household budget.
Right.
So you magnify that, you put a whole bunch of zeros on there, and it's no more complicated than that. You have the line items. You have them designated. Here's what we're going to spend.
Right.
They're just simply, on the education line item, it's just not getting funded. It's simply, and it's such a shell game. This is a bogus, I call it a phantom budget, and it's as dishonest as you can be to the voters to be able to go out and to boast and to run on this as a re-election platform that we have a budget when right behind their back those schools are underfunded by $500 million. It's obscene. It's outrageous.
Right. Well, we've talked about this before. It's always been, even on a local level, and no offense against the Tennessee Titans, but when you have a pipe that broke, one year they had a massive problem down there, had something froze, we had a leak or whatever, maybe that thing was replaced just like that.
Yeah,
you can't get a roof on a school fixed that quick.
And what happens if you don't keep up with the maintenance? What happens from year to year to year?
It gets
more and more and more expensive.
Right. You're eating away at yourself slowly but surely.
And we have that same thing happening with teacher morale. We're going to have a teacher shortage because on the best of days, it's a difficult thing to be a teacher. We all know if you can think for a moment of your favorite childhood teacher and how much he or she had an impact on you. And that's a difficult job in the best of circumstances. And when they're having to bring in their own boxes of Kleenex because there's not enough funding for their classroom supplies.
Right. We've talked about that. Many teachers are providing their own, Kleenex, paper towels, pencils, things that some of their students just simply cannot afford.
And that's if I went into work tomorrow and they said, "Hey, Justin, you're going to have to start bringing in your own copier paper and your own pens, and also we took your desk out, so if you could hop on down to IKEA or order one off Amazon and put that together so you can have somewhere to sit," I would say you're crazy. Anybody in any other profession would say the same exact thing. Yet we look at that when we ask our teachers to do that and go, "Yeah, no, it checks out." Give me a break. It's ridiculous. Absolutely.
Well,
ridiculous.
We're already I think here in Rutherford County, we've got students in portables still. And I mean, we're going through growing pains here, as you said, Gail. We're looking for, and I've said many times here, and people that listen regularly know, another 100,000 to 150,000 people within the next 10 to 15
years. We already know that. Where's our plan?
I know.
Where's our plan for our schools? Where's our plan for our roads?
Right.
You got to ask yourself.
Well, that's what I had said about, we had spoken earlier about Mr. John Bragg in the 80s was our representative here. He lived here in Murfreesboro here for this district. And he always had a very simple formula: build good roads, good schools, and the rest will come together.
Right.
I think we have reaped those rewards over the last 25 years.
Especially
when Nissan came here. And then in 1980, and we've been going on green light go ever since.
Right.
You know, but there does come a time you have to step back and say, you know, just like our new courthouse. I've been in Rutherford County Courthouse, and any of the attorneys will tell you, if you spend much time in there, you know, you can just drill so many holes and run a pipe and run so many wires. You can just do that to a building so much until finally it's time to get out of it.
Right.
And magnify that time school after school after school
we have to Yeah.
And this is not, you know, it bothers me when we talk about it as an expense. This is an investment.
Yes, it is. It's a very important investment. And, that's what I've had older people talk to me. I had a guy tell me once, "I don't think I'll be paying that much property tax. I don't have any kids in school."
That's the most short-sighted statement I've ever heard.
Well, was you paying when you had your other five children in school? How'd you feel about that?
And this is the kind of things that the voters want to hear about, and these are the kinds of things that our opponents need to answer for. Mm-hmm.
We'll do it when we come back for our last segment. Dalton, take us to our last break. Edwin Lee Raymer, the PI Show, Justin Miller, Gail Jordan with you. Back after this.
Sharing the story. Hello and welcome, everyone, for Tennessee Home and Farm Radio. I'm Lee Maddox.
We're talking about ag to folks that don't really understand ag issues, ag policy, and so it gives us a great foundation to really have a natural conversation.
John Butler is now overseeing the day-to-day operations of AgriCenter International. This multifaceted complex and farm is just outside of Memphis in Shelby County, and Butler, a fifth-generation farmer from Dyer County, took over as president this past summer.
We're actually owned by Shelby County citizens. It's county property. We've got a huge economic impact. We do a wonderful job in research. We're focused around agriculture, and we do a lot of ag education.
AgriCenter first opened in 1985 and now includes a number of other agencies and organizations that are tenants on the grounds, including the UT and TSU Extension Service, local USDA offices, Ducks Unlimited, and Bayer Crop Science. And one of the newest projects that Butler says he's excited to see through is research comparing organic crops to traditional crops.
So we're going to have opportunity to have side-by-side research and data to show not only commercial ag but also organic. So we certainly are excited about how that relates not only to, you know, our vision, but trying to get the truth out about some of the misconceptions you hear all the time about, you know, GMOs, biotechnology, and commercial ag.
And the 47-year-old Butler knows that today's consumers are more interested than ever to learn more about how their food is produced. And as a longtime row crop farmer himself, he has that knowledge to do just that.
In today's world, we're seeing a lot of people that traditionally are not interested in agriculture are extremely excited about the fact of where their food and fiber comes from. And we're happy to try to deliver that message as accurately as possible.
Well, over a million people visit AgriCenter International each year, and you can find out much more about this treasure in Shelby County at agricenter.org. For Tennessee Home and Farm Radio, I'm Lee Maddox.
The PI program now returns. Now back to your host, Edwin Lee Raymer.
All right, Dalton Barrett, thank you. Edwin Lee Raymer here with Justin and Gail. We're in our last 8 minutes. I want to thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
No, I really am. Justin, before we go, I want to tell people how to get a hold of you or what, you know, where you're at, your website and all
that. Yeah, the easiest place to find me is Facebook. We're very very socially or a social media heavy campaign. It's facebook.com/Miller for 48. You can also visit Miller for 48.com, or if you have any direct questions, you can there are places to reach me on both of those, but if you don't want to go through that trouble, it's Miller for 48 at gmail.com. I've been getting a lot of questions lately, which I love. I mean, that's
right.
Why I got into it. I don't understand why you would run for office and then not want to engage the voters by, you know, answering emails or having forums or anything like that.
We got into that too.
You know,
everybody was wild about it except certain people.
You know, but that's how you reach me. You know, at the end of the day, this campaign is just about creating a getting representation and creating a state government that works for everybody, not just some people.
Right.
That works for everybody, regardless of your age, of your race, of your sexual orientation, socioeconomic status. I don't care. I want it to work for every single Tennessean, and that's not an unachievable goal. We just kind of have to pull our heads together, quit with the partisanship, and just make good changes for Tennessee and move ourselves into the 21st century.
Well, I've been, you know, we tried to set up these debates and everything. There were people that said I was trying to buy favor with you or Gail because maybe made a campaign. One person who was said made a campaign contribution and trying to buy a favor. And I said, I wouldn't call $14 necessarily. That won't pay for a yard sign.
Wait, you're giving out money yet? Come on, man. we're gonna have a talk here in just a second.
Yeah, no, well, you're sliding into home plate, so don't worry about it. Miss Gail, tell these folks how to get hold of you.
Thank you, Ed. My website is Gail Jordan for Senate, TN14.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. The number that you find at the website, that's my personal cell phone number. I am so available and so willing to talk to folks. If there's anything that I've said tonight that has struck your fancy or that you want to debate or you want to talk about, call that cell phone number. It's the cell phone that's in my hand right now.
Elliot's got it.
This is what my fellow Democratic candidates and I have made a commitment. We are absolutely open. We're willing. We want to talk about the issues. We want to get the information out there. I want everyone to understand that we do not have a surplus. We have underfunded schools. So I can't say it enough. But if you want to talk about it, send me an email, give me a call, send me a text, whatever.
Because the clock is ticking, folks, okay?
Yes.
Early voting will end Thursday. Stopped by to see your granddad the other day.
Did you?
He wasn't there.
He's a mover and a shaker. He does not spend much time at the office.
Wayne Belt, one of the guys that was there, said, you might need to get an appointment with him. He said, you stepped out to go get a sandwich. I said, I just had some other business down there.
He stepped out to get a sandwich and then went and worked somewhere. He's an animal. I've never seen it. He's got the work ethic of.
Is he listening people. Tonight?
Does
he?
Probably not. Probably not. I'd say he and my grandmother are in bed. I think they both wake up crazy early. So
I said that too. Somebody said, I think Bart Walker here at the station posted a picture yesterday of a beautiful sunrise. And I wrote him back. I said, is it really healthy to be up that early in the morning?
What's that?
I was always more into sunsets.
Yeah. I'm more of a sunset guy. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen many a sunrise when I was headed home. But, I mean, folks, I want to tell you something on a personal level. I have gotten to know a lot of these candidates. And my father used to say something. Said, you know, you may not ever finish number one, but if you got the best people, you'll always do good in life. And these are good people, okay? I want you to know that. I've gotten to know them. Do we agree on every single issue? Probably not, no. But if you've got good people, and I know I've known your grandparents because we did some work for them. Gail, I just had the pleasure of meeting you in the last few months, but you don't go this far unless you've got something going for you. And you guys, I have a feeling, regardless of the outcome, I have a feeling we're going to see y'all down the road. Because a lot of people here locally are committed to this thing that is taking root. And, you know, they want to be a part of it in some way. Justin, make your final pitch. We've got 3 minutes.
Well, I'll try not to take up the whole time. You know, like I said, this is just a campaign for the people. I've taken, you know, I have raised very little money for this campaign, which everyone has told me was political suicide. I have, and as has Gail, have come out in support from day one for the LGBTQ community, which everyone said was political suicide. We've done so many things that people told us not to do, not because we wanted to play politics, because it's the right thing to do. And right. That's who we need representing us, is people that aren't afraid to go against the grain and even tell their own party that they're wrong. So I think, and I don't want to speak for Gail, but I can tell you, I've gotten to know Gail over the past 7 months. And, you know, I don't think you're going to find anybody more committed than that goes for Becky Goff, for Laura Bowling, for Brandon Thomas as well. Right. You're not going to find people more committed to making the kinds of changes that we need in this area to continue the kind of growth that we have.
Gail.
Thank you, Ed, for having us on here. And I echo what Justin said. He said it just so beautifully. Every decision that we make, as we have talked through this campaign, every decision we make is to elevate the lives, the quality of life for the people of Tennessee. That's why we're running. That's what motivated us in the first place. That's what's bringing us to the finish line. Call us, talk to us about us, send us notes. We'd love to talk about it. Thank you, Ed.
Absolutely.
Thank you all. It's been a pleasure once again. Elliot, always good to see you.
Thank you,
Ray. And your man over here, he's videoed us tonight. What are we going to do with this tape?
Okay.
That's our trusty. That's our trusty campaign worker. What do we do without Matt Ferry?
Yeah, Matt. We have a lot of us campaigns have just kind of shared Matt, and he's been. I'm going to tell you what he is an asset.
So you're the go-to guy. Then,
he's
right?
the man.
Okay, he's
he
the go-to
the man.
Guy. By the way, remember Matt. I get my royalty on that. Okay. All right.
We will send you the bill.
I know you will. Dalton, if you will play us out of here, we're going to let these folks go home, let the folks at home go to bed. Edwin Lee Raymer, The PI Show. It's been a pleasure to be with you. We'll talk to you next Sunday.